She was missing just now. Yeah, this is left in yeah, yeah. Yeah, just now, yeah. Tonight's sugya, if you ask me, to be one of the most difficult sugyas, both in terms of the halachic principles behind and in terms of trying to coordinate the medicine with the sugyas and these types of shalas that really have to be sometimes passing really on the spot. Number one, so Rabbi Willie mentioned to me that as long as the Rabbanim were expected to answer shalas in a split second, whereas Rabbi Kivager and the Chazam Sofer had days and days to be done on because there was no cell phones. So now sometimes you can't, you have to try to give and do as best as you can. I thought we were just trying to give a little bit of a guidelines of some of the halachas that come up in terms of mishanot olamos, somebody who is in the process of dying, about to die. What are some of the guidelines, some of the parameters as to what one is permitted to do, what one is prohibited to do? So really this is somewhat of a continuation of what we spoke about last week. We mentioned last week that ma'abed atzmo l'das, that for a person to actually commit suicide is considered to be a terrible aveira in the Torah. And we mentioned that according to the overwhelming majority of opinions where we presented the sugya last week, that even in a situation where a person may be in tremendous pain, one is not permitted to commit suicide. We'll look at the suicide a little bit different if a person is in such pain and he's ma'abed atzmo l'das before the pain, so we're not going to treat him perhaps with all the chumras of ma'abed atzmo l'das. We mentioned last week the medrash about the ma'aseh shol, different opinions what exactly that means. But in terms of being permissible, in terms of being a mutter, so we assume that one is not permitted to take one's own life, even to minimize pain, and the corollary of that is, of course, one would not be permitted to take somebody else's life. We would basically consider that to be an act of ritzicha. So in that background, let's begin our sugya. What are some possible exceptions to that rule, in the sense of what are certain things that may be permitted to do, or certain things that maybe would help from doing in order to, which may end up causing the person to die earlier. So the sugya begins in the first of Mamakamos in the Sefer Shabbos, Daf Kuftun Aleph and Beis, where the Mishnah tells us in Atzmenes Ameis B'Shabbos that a person is not permitted to close the eyes of a person who's already died on Shabbos. The reason being is that that's a problem of Tulpa Mukta, that a mace is considered to be a Mukta on Shabbos, so one is not permitted to move a mace on Shabbos under normal circumstances. Even to move part of the body would be a problem, so to close the eyelids of a mace would be a problem on Shabbos. And then the Mishnah continues, nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, just happens to be a similar topic, so the Mishnah says, Velo b'chol imitzias nefesh. And similarly, one is not permitted to close the eyes of a person who is in the process of dying. In Yitzias HaNefesh, one is not permitted to do so. Why is that? So the Mishnah continues, V'amatsim in Yitzias HaNefesh, Reza Shafech Domim, that if a person actually does that, closes the eyes of a person who is in the process of dying, that's considered to be tantamount to Ritzicha, to an act of Shrichas Domim. Why is that? So the Gemara elaborates upon this. The Gemara gives a mashal. The Gemara says, like, I have a candle. And the candle is flickering a little bit, so it's still going. It's a little lamash, a little like those chanukah candles. After a few hours, a little bit is still going, and if a person just touches it a little bit, so that could do it. That could, in fact, cause the candle to be extinguished. So it's over here that any contact that a person does with a goseis, a person who is without defining precisely what goseis means, but at least for our purposes, someone who is notalomo, somebody who was basically in the process of die very, very soon, so any contact would be a potential problem of Areza Shavach Dham. That contact itself may cause the person actually to die earlier. So to be Ma'at and Mr. Enof Shel Goseis, he be Tiers and Nefesh, is absolutely prohibited by the Halacha. And following this, so the second of the Mamakamos, so in the Ramon, in your day, in Simen Shin Lamates, if Aleph, so the Chayn also Ligram Lameish Yomus Mehera. So a person is not permitted to do any type of an action to cause a person to die earlier. If a person actively causes a person to die, so that's equivalent to Reza Shafich Damim. Kagon Mishu Goseis Man Aruch Vayuchal Li Pared. So if a person is Goseis, even though it's for a long period of time, and somehow just not happy, the person is not, is nisht there. So the Ramah writes, also Lisham and Akar, against Mitachtav. One is not permitted to remove the pillow, again, for whatever reasons, that would somehow cause the person to die earlier. It doesn't really matter the details of what is medically true or not medically true, it doesn't really matter. But the principle being is that anything that's going to even potentially caused the person to die earlier would be a problem. So it's with this background now that the Rama says that even though it's clearly prohibited to actively cause a person to die early, nevertheless, the Rama, the second line towards the end of the line, the Rama says about when Yesham Davar Shegorim Igu Vitzias HaNefesh, what if the question becomes not to actively cause the person to die, but rather to remove something which is keeping the person alive? So the Rama says that's already a different story. That's not considered to be an act of Shmichus Damim. Now normally, it's also prohibited. Normally, the person's healthy, so we try to keep everybody alive as long as possible. That's the mitzvah of the Chaybahem. We spoke about this so many times. That's the mitzvah of Hatzalah. At any time, anytime you see somebody whose life is in danger, so you're not allowed to say, well, I'm not, as long as I'm not killing him, that's okay. No, that you're required to actively save a person's life. So here the Rama seems to say, no, here the Rama seems to say that you have sometimes a situation where the halacha does not require the person to actively save the person's life, to actively kill him, or to actively cause the person to die earlier. That's out of the question. That's the way the Shevich Damim. But just to remain passive, not to do anything, so under certain circumstances that would be permissible. These are the guidelines that the Rama is giving. In Yesham Davar Shegorim Igu Vitzias HaNefesh, that there's something which is apparently preventing the person from dying. Kigon Shiyesh Samach Osabayis Kol Dofek, let's say, for example, and again, it doesn't really matter about the medical truth or not truth of validity, does not have any of these things. What's important are the klalim, and then we would have to try to take the klalim and plug them into what the best of medical knowledge that we have today. So if a person is a geisek, a person is not the lamos, and there's a sound outside, you know, called an eitzim, that somebody's hammering outside, someone's making a noise, and somehow we sense that noise is what's keeping the person alert a little bit. That's keeping the person alive a little bit. So one would be permitted to ask the guy to stop chopping the wood. You could ask him to stop the aim of the maisiklal. I'm not doing anything. I'm not actively causing the person to die. I'm just removing something that's keeping the person alive. That's just called, what we call in halacha, asura samaneya. We learned from the study of electricity, that phrase also rings a bell a little bit. Asura samaneya, that I'm not actively doing something. I'm just removing something that's preventing the person from dying. So the Rama says, under certain circumstances, that would be permissible. The Rama doesn't tell you that you're mechuyev to do it. The Rama just tells you that presumably there's nothing wrong with doing it. So this category that the Rama is telling us of asura samaneya, that sometimes a person is permitted to remain passive and is not obligated to intercede to save the person's life. So we have to really understand what exactly this means. What is practically, are some of the guidelines? What things in the modern day and age would fall under this category? But before we get to the details of the Rama, we just have to qualify a little bit more as to what the basis of this ruling is. Where exactly does this come from? What exactly is the background for this tzach of the Rama? So this is the Gemara Maseches Ksubos, the Daf Kuf Dalet and Aleph. Some of the Daf Yomi people remember this not that long ago. Where the Gemara Ksubos tells us a story about the death of Rabbi Yudan Nasi. How Yom Udenach Nafshi the Rabbi. It was the day that Rabbi Yudan Nasi was very ill and he actually died that day. Goes Rabban and Tanisa Bo Rachmei. So the Chachamim were goes to Tainis on that day and they were davening. And they were hoping that Rebbe would have Refuah Shleima. So Amri, they said, Koma the Amar Nachnafshi, the Rebbe Yidacha Becheref. They said that nobody should tell us that Rebbe died. Whoever's going to tell us Rebbe died, we're going to stick him with a sword. Whatever that Lashon means, i.e. we should keep on davening, and nobody should give up hope. We shouldn't be Misyayish for Rebbe's recovery. So Salika Amse the Rebbe Le'igra. So Rebbe's one of the maids in Rebbe's house. The Gemara tells us another place in Rosh Hashanah about some of the people who worked in Rebbe's house. They were quite impressive people. The Gemara tells us the story about how the Chachamim was sitting in Rebbe's house and they didn't know what a certain word in the Mishnah meant. And they heard the maid, when she was talking with Lashon HaKodesh to one of the other servants, so she used that word. So they said, oh wow, we can learn something from the Amsa de Rebbe. Then another story happened like that, and a third story happened like that. So then they realized that, yes, if you work in Rebbe's house, you pick up a couple of interesting things along the way. So she was somebody we have to, wasn't just a nobody, we have to reckon with her. So comes the Gemara, tells a story about the Samson to be Rebbe, that she went up, she climbed up on the roof, and Amra, El Yonim Mevakshim is Rebbe, Vetachton Mevakshim is Rebbe. She said that obviously in the Shemayim they want Rebbe, Rebbe's dying, so the Malochim and the Malochim Shores, they want Rebbe to come and join them, yet the Tachtonim, the Temechom in this world, in the ground, they also want Rebbe, so they're fighting it out, the different alums are fighting about it, to whether Rebbe's going to survive or not. So Yerotzen Sheyachufu Tachtonim Es Al Yonim, so the tefillah of the Amos to be Rebbe was that we hope that the powers on earth will overcome the powers in Shemayim. That means let the tefillos of the Vos of Adam, the Tamidim, the Chum of Rebbe, let them overpower the tefillos of the Malachim, and i.e. let Rebbe survive. That was her initial reaction. She saw Rebbe's dying, but Abba Bichay, she went out and daven, and she joined the Tehillim that Rebbe should survive. But Kevin the Chazoy, the Kamazimne, the Ayala, the Sekisei, so then she saw that Rebbe was suffering greatly, that he was out of the bathroom so many times, the Chalot Tefillin, the Malachim, the Kubitztair, that even on his dying day, so he was still wearing tefillin, but then every time he had to go to the bathroom, he had to take them off. And she saw that he was in such a physical agony. So Amra Yiratzon Sheachufel Yoram Satachperim. So then she changed the tefillah. So then she davened that Yiratzon that the Malachim should win, that the Tamil Chachamim should lose. So Lo Bushafki Rabbanim Levoy Rachabe. That, but still, Afal Bichein, the Chacham was still going through. They were still saying tefillin that Rebbe should survive. So Shakla Kuzah Shad Demigal Yaris. So she threw something down off the roof. So all the Chacham looked around, they startled for a minute, Ishtikos, Merachme, they stopped davening for a second, they couldn't figure out what was going on, and at that moment when the Tamid Chachamim stopped davening, V'nach Nafshe the Rebbe. So at that point, the tefillahs were gone in this world, and the Malachim won out, and in fact, Rebbe was taken to the next world. So this is the Agadah that the Gemara tells us, Masech Ketubot, is about the death of Rebbe. So again, it's a very moving and poignant story. The question is, can we derive anything from it in terms of Halacha? So the Rad in Maseches Nedarim Daf Mem says that that this Gemara really has to be understood in terms of a halachic context. And what the Gemara is telling us is that the answer to the Rebbe wasn't off, that she figured out exactly what was going on. I mean, at first, her initial reaction was, the person's sick, so you say, tell him, it's a Mishaberech, so everyone knows, Daven is a blue sick. But it comes a point where it's not appropriate to daven that the person should survive. What was the Keveya? What caused the maidservant of Rebbe's house to realize that it's no longer appropriate to daven that Rebbe should survive? So she saw the Rebbe was in tremendous pain. He was in physical agony. So she realized that he's not going to survive. She realized it's not going to be a refuah shleima. It's just a question of enduring pain for a little bit more. So she changed the tefillah at that point. And she davened. She no longer davened that he should survive. But forget, she in fact davened that he should really die. That means basically she was davening that Yiratza Sheachufu El Yom HaTachtonim, that the Malachim should win out, that the Bicham should lose out. So the Ran says that not only was this the practice of the Amz of the Rebbe, the fact that the Gemara tells us the story, so the Gemara seems to say that she was right, that she, Tachal, knew better than the other Chachamim, that the Chachamim was still davening in a way that Rebbe should survive, but she had inside information. She realized how much tzar he was in, so she realized the person in such pain, so then it's appropriate that it's better that the person should die rather than the person should be alive. So if one would just take this Gemara in the context the way the Gemara seems to be saying it, with Ran is drawing the conclusion, so this Gemara is telling us a klal hukos tefillah. That's all it's saying. It's not telling us anything about your day. It's not telling us about taking people's lives. It's just talking about hukos tefillah, that when a person is very, very sick and there doesn't seem to be any hope for recovery, and the person is just suffering, so the proper thing to do is not to doubt that the person should survive, but rather that one should really doubt that the person should not survive. So the poskim write that even though that may be true, in theory that may be true, one has to be very, very careful before davening the person is not going to survive. The poskim point out that a person has to really be so careful that he's not in a gebedover. Sometimes we know, sometimes if one is plenty, a person who's very sick and a person is dying and they're in tremendous pain, sometimes people daven that the people don't actually daven that way, but people sometimes think, oh, it would be better that it would be over. So sometimes they really have the patient's best interest in mind, and sometimes it's a little bit of a gebedover. That people don't want to be concerned with it anymore. They don't want to be bothered anymore. So sometimes people may subconsciously be davening that the person should not survive, even though that may not necessarily be focused on the well-being of the patient. So therefore, the poskim write that we're very, very nervous, but not as that to actively daven that a person should die. That means even though technically speaking, the Amsa Debe Rebbe was correct, and if a person meets those criteria, technically speaking, one would be permitted to do so, but as long as that, we are nervous to do that. We are afraid to make such a statement. So usually we tell people in these circumstances when there's really no medical hope and the person is suffering, so you daven, the Rebbe Shalom should do what's best. But I mean, that's what we should daven. Instead of daven, the person should have a four shleima, should daven that the Rebbe Shalom should do whatever the proper thing, should have rachmanis on the chola. So up until now, we've only seen the Gemara and Ksubas Tav Kuf Dalet that's telling us about tefillah. It's not telling us anything else. So the question is, well, maybe there's more to it than that. That maybe we can derive from here that just as under normal circumstances, we're supposed to dive into the Rebbeinu Shalom to be Merapeh Cholim, because that's part of our obligation of Lo Samro Dam Re'echa. We're supposed to try to help people to live as long as possible. So normally we expect it to daven for, the Gemara says in the Darim, that the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, sometimes people think Bikur Cholim just means to go and visit and say hello. So the Gemara says, no, Bikur Cholim means that to go and visit and to take care of the Tzarech Cholim, means to provide him food, to clean him up, to help him out, whatever he needs. The Levakir means not just to visit, Levakir means to inspect. And it's like Bikur Mumin means to look, what can you do to help the person? So the Gemara says that if a person is Levakir Cholim and they don't daven for the person, then that's not really a mitzvah Bikur Cholim because since the whole nature of the mitzvah is to assist the person to get better, so tefillah is an integral part of assisting the person's refuah shleima. So one is mechuyav out the mitzvah b'kicholim, we must follow for cholim. So when the Gemara is telling us that it reached a certain point where you're not supposed to be mispalef for cholim, you're not supposed to daven that they should remain alive anymore, so that seems to indicate to us that we're supposed to lay back, we're supposed to take a step back. We're not supposed to actively be involved to keep the person alive under certain circumstances. So it could be that this Gemara, although it's primarily talking about tefillah, we may be able to extend this to other things as well, that there are certain things that we're not mechuyev to do, maybe not even not mechuyev to do, maybe not even supposed to do, to keep a person alive under certain circumstances. So it's in this idea that Rav Moshe picks up upon in Shuta Igras Moshe in Chelek Choshen Mishpat in Chelek Beis Siman Ayin Dalet. The Rav Moshe writes, "Uposhot shekain sovar Ramah b'yiradeh simin shin lametesif aleph." That the Ramah that we quoted before, where the Ramah says that sometimes you reach a point that if a person is not talamus, so you just take a step back and you don't actively, you're not allowed to actively kill the person. But on the other hand, you don't keep on diminishing certain things. So it comes with Moshe and says that the Ramah is based on his following, that the Ramah says shematir v'gam matzrich lahasid dvar ma'ach b'intias nefesh. So the Ramah adds, as the Ramah adds to the Ramah, the Ramah says that not only is the Ramah permitting you to refrain from doing certain things, but the Ramah is recommending, is telling you that you're supposed to do certain things. He says that even though clearly by you removing that woodchopper, assuming that those are the facts, you're removing the woodchopper, that's going to cause the person to die a couple of minutes earlier. Even though normally we're very machped and chayishah, with Michal Shabbos, even to save a person for 1 second of life, but it doesn't matter, says Rav Moshe, that apparently there's something else going on in that Ramah. What is the issue of the Ramah? The answer is very simple, says the Rav Moshe. The Pasha should be Tzad HaYisurim Sheesh LaGoshis Bazeh. So Rav Moshe says it must be that the reason why the Ramah permits you and even requires you, according to Rav Moshe's understanding, to refrain from administering certain things is because of the issue of Yisurim. It must be that's the factor, that the factor of pain plays into the equation. So normally we try to save people's lives, we try to even enhance to extend the person's life every second, Chai Shoy, Michal Shabbos, even to keep a person alive for a second. But says Rav Moshe, Pu Yesh Bedova, the Gvul is, the overwhelming criteria, according to Rav Moshe, is Yisurin, that if a person is suffering, then one need not extend the life of somebody who is suffering, and one is not supposed to extend the life of somebody who is suffering. Says Rav Moshe, must be that the Ramah is assuming that there's some issue of suffering. The Baleke Yisurin, says Rav Moshe, if the person is not suffering, Haleka Shum Tam Sheyatiru, Apostolic Venom Akvalitis and Nefesh. Says Rav Moshe, why otherwise should we not keep the person alive? If we have nothing to lose, the person is the Goy says, but assuming that there's no pain involved, so what's the problem? So he says, forget, we should keep the person alive as long as possible. So says Rav Moshe, must be that the fact that even though the Ramah doesn't say the word pain, doesn't say the word Yisurin, that must be the fact that the Ramah is concerned with. Then Rav Moshe also in this shuv also elaborates upon that that's the yisod of the Gemara about Rebbe. That just as we find in the Amsa de Bei Rebbe, that she decided not to daven anymore, that Rebbe should survive, even though normally a mechuyev to daven, a person should survive. It must be, says Rav Moshe, because of pain. So just as the Amos Debei Rebbe didn't daven that she should survive because he was in pain, who are the Nami, we're not mechuyev to do other kinds of things to keep the person alive. So Rav Moshe basically draws a balance between, on the one hand, we have the Gemara in Shabbos about a matzim and mitzias and nefesh, a person who closes the eyes of the geiseis is a retzeh, is a sheikh damim. On the other hand, we have this Ramah, we have this Gemara Tzubis about how you're not mechuyev to get involved to do certain things. So there are two important factors as a relation. One is active versus passive. Actively to do something, even though the person is in terrible pain, that's out of the question. That was the last week's shiur. That's mamash ratzicha, that's ma'abedas meladah, to actively cause the person to die earlier. Pain doesn't play a role. But if you're not talking active, it's only passive, so then Tain does play a considerable role, and that's in fact the Keveya, and that's what Moshe's Tzak is based on. So then Ramesh continues to try to give you some guidelines as to what's considered to be active and what's considered to be passive, and even within passive, what things are perhaps still, one would still be required to administer. So we go back to the continuation of that tshuva in Oz Gimel, paragraph Gimel. So Ramesh was further asked, Im lahachil derech avarid chola mesukan she'iev shel raposo lahachal yisurav, so Ramesh was asked, what's the din if you have a chole mesukan, who the doctors have given up hope, and the person is suffering? So it seems to have all the criteria that one is not mechuyev to actively get involved to save the person. So what would that loche be if the person required to provide an IV for such an individual? Do we have a right to say that, well, no one's telling us we have to, we're not going to yank the IV in if it's in already, but no one's telling us to put another one in, no one's telling us to fill up the IV. Maybe we're not mechuyev to do that, because just as the Rambam says that if it's suffering and it's a goyse, it's not the lomos and it's passive, so you're not mechuyev to do certain things, so maybe that's also considered to be not required to do. So here Ramesha draws the following distinction. V'hinei b'tshuvasi laharofim kasafti is referring to a previous shuva that he wrote to a group of doctors. Shalachola mesukon she'ime yochel limshom tzorech liten lo chamtsan. That if a person is a chole mesukan and is having difficulty breathing, so one is required to give him chamtsan. So just in case you know what chamtsan is, oxygen. Ramesh always writes, always has this very unique way of spelling English words into Hebrew. So he writes that one would be required to give the person oxygen. Avshu ba'ofen shi efshel raposo. Even though the person is in a state where he's not going to get any better. I mean, the doctors have given up. He's a goyseis, not a lomos, and he's suffering. It says in Moshe here, he feels that you have to give the person oxygen. Sha'arehu l'hokel ni'isurav. He says, kospaket, the whole idea is that we're trying to minimize pain. That was the whole guideline. That was the Gemara, Rabbi Yudan Nasi, Vadam Sidbe Rabbi. Everything is pain-oriented now. So he's saying, the whole point is to try to minimize the pain. So he says, faket, if you can have the person's not able to breathe, so that goof is going to be a tremendous pain. V'chamtsan misalkon. So he says that he thinks, therefore, one should administer oxygen to a person under these circumstances. And then Ramesh continues, who chafiz that, based on what I just said, shal im cholim she'em yichom lechol, im tzrichim liten lu ochel derech haveridin, kishu mesukot. What if the question is, giving the person food, he's referring to intravenous, shulahari chayav, kamo she'em b'yisurin, kishu nidmalon she'em lo yisurin ma'ashenu ochel. This is assuming that the doctors are telling us that he's not, the holding back of the food is not in and of itself causing suffering. Again, I want to get all the feedback, though, pun intended, from the doctors afterwards, but let's work with all these assumptions right now. So Ramesha says that to hold back oxygen, so he says that's not appropriate because he's old, that's goofy and enhance the pain. But what about a situation where we're holding back food or holding back nutrition, holding back an IV, which in and of itself won't necessarily cause pain? So should we plug in the Ramah? Should we say, well, just as the Ramah said that you're not mechuyev to do things for such a person, you should hasara samaneya is permissible. So maybe holding back food is hasara samaneya. So comes the Ramah and says, no, he doesn't think so. Poshet shetzarach la'achilo dvarim she'ein mazikin. So he says one would be required to still provide the person with food if he's skipping back from IV for a minute, just time to really feed him. As long as the food in and of itself is not going to cause any more damage. Here Ramesha draws the following distinction. Tom Posha says, Ramesha, why is it that you're not allowed to take the approach? Well, the Rabbah said, you're not mechuyev to keep the guy chopping the wood. And Amsa the Rabbi said, we're not mechuyev to say Tehillim. So says Ramesha, so the logical conclusion of that is, well, we're not mechuyev to keep on providing nutrition. So says Ramesh, you know, here's where we think the distinction is. Matam poshut, she'achilu hu davar tiv'i, she'muchrochin lecho l'hachzik ha'chiyos, v'shechol odom v'al palchayim b'yamu muchrochin l'zeh. So he says that eating is considered to be natural. And what does that mean? So Ramesh seems to be developing for us another criteria, that the men of Amamurim, that the Halacha says, that are permitted to hold back certain types of treatment or certain types of activities that may be keeping the person alive, that's what we're talking about, things out of the realm of natural care. But whatever is considered to be normal
care in the sense of what a healthy person does. Everybody eats, everybody eats, everyone breathes. So whatever's considered to be within the realm of Dover TV, and again, that's quite a loaded statement, what Ramesha says, but maybe some people have different definitions of what's called Dover TV, but Ramesha clearly is working with the assumption that anything that's considered to be natural for quote-unquote healthy people, so that's also considered to be something that one is required to do, even if the person meets the other criteria, namely, the person is in pain, and the person is a guy safe, so the doctors gave up hope, have a bichain to hold back the food or hold back the intravenous. So Ramesha seems to be assuming that that would be a problem. So really just to summarize the different column that we have at this point, so we started out with the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, where the Mishnah tells us that to actively cause the person to die even a moment earlier, that's clearly prohibited, that's Hareza Shafach Damim. And again, that statement of the Mishnah, that trumps everything. That doesn't matter what the doctor's diagnosis is, it doesn't matter what the pain level is. For us to actively cause the person to die, so that's absolutely out of the question. That was really last week's shiur. However, to passively, in a sense, cause the person to die, Hasaras HaManeya, so the Ramah already opened up for us the Pesach that such a possible akula exists. And Rav Moshe understood that not as a akula, but in a certain sense it's an obligation that we're supposed to be following what the Ramah is telling us. But the Ramah is not exactly clear what the guidelines are. So Rav Moshe adds on a little bit to the guidelines. Rav Moshe says that it must be that that's just stam for no reason. Just stam, we want to take away the wood chopper. That's not an acceptable reason. It has to be that the removal of the Hasaras HaManeya, that it's going to enhance the patient in the sense of it's going to alleviate the pain of the patient. The patient is suffering otherwise, and by removing this Maneya, that's going to help the patient in terms of suffering. So that's okay, says Rav Moshe. That's what the Ramah meant, and the Marshal Mother Vidomer, where do you have a precedent for this in Halacha? That's the whole story for Rabbi Yudan Nossi with the Amsa, the whole story from the Gemara Maseches Ksuba. So pain is a critical factor in this entire equation of Rav Moshe. It doesn't permit us to actively do something, that's Ratzicha, but it does permit us and require of us to hold back. But then Rav Moshe threw in another factor into the equation. But Rav Moshe said that the medibar mamurim that we're permitted or required to hold back from certain types of treatment, that's only if it's something which is not really natural. Something which is unnatural, and the example that Rav Moshe gave of natural was the issue of food. So Rav Moshe says when it's natural, so that we're mechuyev to keep on providing for the person, presumably even though they're a ghost, say, from the doctor gave up hope, and it's painful, but for us to hold back natural things, so that would be, that presumably would be out of the question for Rav Moshe. Then in the process, Rav Moshe threw in a sense of fourth factor to keep in mind. Rav Moshe says that the medibar mamurim that was supposed to be providing this person with nutrition, the medibar mamurim that itself is not going to make the matters worse. I mean, sometimes one could theoretically, and maybe even practically, you're trying to feed the patient, you're trying to provide the patient with certain things, but those procedures that you're doing may go for be risky. That may violate the first bit in the mission. That may violate the original beginning of the sugya of Hamasim in Yitzias HaNefesh HaRezah Shefach Damim. If you're going to do a procedure, you're going to provide something for this chola, you think that you're providing something natural for them, but in the process you may kill them, so that's also a fact you have to take into consideration. So you have a lot of different things to try to keep in mind when these types of shilas come up. So let's try to see if we can just take some of these klalim and try to present a little bit how they, how to some degree they play out. And as we had last week, I definitely want to get some feedback from from anybody here, particularly those who are involved in these kinds of things day in and day out. So there is a big discussion in the Gedolia Peskim, where exactly do you draw the line, what's considered to be Hasaras HaManeya, and what's considered to be Hamasim Mitzias HaNefesh HaRezah Shafech Damim. So one of the big shilas that's discussed by the Peskim of that generation is, if a person is on a respirator, whether they should have been put on or shouldn't have been put on, but they might say they're on it. So right now the person is on the respirator, and the question is, if pulling the plug on the respirator, closing the respirator, is that considered to be the equivalent of Hamasim Mitzias HaNefesh, or is that considered to be Hasaras HaManeya? So one, in theory, could argue that maybe that's only Hasaras HaManeya. Maybe you could argue that the respirator is like something which is external. So I'm not doing anything. I'm not even touching the person. I'm pulling the plug out of literally, figuratively, I'm pulling a plug out of the wall. So that's the lach equivalent of what the Rabbah said of asking the wood chopper to stop chopping. So when I'm pulling the plug, so then it's not giving any more air, so now the person is going to die. So can one argue that that's considered to be merely Hasaras HaManeya? So there was a suggestion like that. There were some who wanted to argue that perhaps that's called Hasaras HaManeya, but it doesn't appear to have been Muskam. It appears that one majority of the poskim seem to assume that that's not considered to be Hasaras HaManeya. Rather, that's more closely to closing something off. That's like Marshall Adama. If a person is perfectly healthy and I take a person, I stick him in the water and I keep his oxygen supply away from him. So that's Ratzicha Mamish. So who adinami? Once there's a flow of oxygen that's going in, I'm not saying you have to put him on the respirator yet, but if a person is already getting a flow of oxygen and I'm closing it off, so that would be tantamount of according to many posts, that would be a style of Mamish Losirtzach. That may be actual Shmichus Damim. So again, that's a touchy, quite a touchy topic, which revolves around this precise definition. What's called Matzim and Ein of Shomeis, what's called an action, and what's considered to be merely Sarasa Menea. Let's say less graphic than that. Rather than taking the person off the respirator, the question becomes, what about putting the person onto the respirator in the first place? So there are three logical possibilities. Either it's Aser, Mutter, or Mechuyev. Those are different possibilities. Is the person required to put somebody onto a respirator? So L'chora, the putting the person onto the respirator, would fall into the category of what the Ramah is saying, that here, I'm not doing anything. The Ramah's lashon was that Ein bo zeh ma'aseh klal, I'm not turning off the respirator, I'm just not putting him on. So Ein bo zeh ma'aseh klal. So who says that I'm a chuyev? Who says I'm supposed to put the person onto the respirator? So if they meet all the criteria of the Ramah and Shulam Ates, so then the Allah would be, then you're not supposed to put them on. So what were some of the criteria? So we went through the criteria already. So first of all, it has to be somebody who's not the lovel. So it has to be somebody who clearly is going to die. That means according to all the best the medical knowledge, there's no hope for this person at this point. So that's one basic criteria that has to be met. And number two, according to Rav Moshe's cheshbon, there has to be pain. That means according to Rav Moshe, if the person is not in any pain, or not in significant pain, whatever that means, I'm sure you can add a little bit more to this issue. So according to Ramosha, if you don't have that factor of pain, so then the whole Ramah doesn't apply. That's what the Ramah writes. That's what Ramosha writes. If there's no pain, if you're not trying to save the person any additional pain, so then the Hechat Hasten that you don't try to keep the person alive longer. So according to Ramosha, it should boil down to that. That if we feel the person is suffering, and even with all the pain medications and everything, that it's still difficult to really say that the person is not suffering. So according to Ramosha, the person is in Ota Lomos, and a person is suffering from the pain, and there's no hope, so then Pashto says, and the Ramah would apply. Even though Ramosha did say that you have to give oxygen, that one could argue that Ramosha was not talking about respirators here. Ramosha was talking about giving a person just simple oxygen. So there are many folks who will distinguish between the two, that something to put the person onto the respirator, that's significantly more, that's less dovativity, so to speak, than Ramosha was referring to before. So one could argue that if it meets those criteria, then it would be not only mutter, but according to what Ramosha said, when there are more applies, not only mutter, but that's supposed to be, it means you type it, not supposed to put the person onto the respirator. So l'chor, that's what the halacha should be, if it meets those criteria, that there really is absolutely no hope, and there is the issue of pain. Not everybody agreed to Rav Moshe. There were a poskim. There was an opinion of the Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenberg in his Shuvas, where he disagreed with Rav Moshe as a home halach, that the Tzitz Eliezer assumed that the halacha is that chayisha. We know the halacha, the Gemara tells him, as Yumi, Michal, the Shabbos, Mishum chayisha, even to keep the person alive for one more second. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, if Madachi Mechuyev on Shabbos, the Michal Shabbos, to save a guy for one more second, so Kavachomer on a weekday, Mechuyev to save the person. You have to put the person onto the respirator. I, the person is suffering. Tzitz Eliezer, that doesn't play a role in terms of Harachas Chayim. So the problem with Tzitz Eliezer is that the Ramah does say something. The Ramah Shalom Bates does tell us that there are certain things that one is not obligated to do, to actively do. So it's difficult to understand exactly those guidelines of Tzitz Eliezer. But if you throw up, post him, hold that way. We'll say that. There's no Ethereum. There's nothing that you got to do everything. You have to take the approach. Everything has to be done, Belishim Safi. But if you go to the root of Moshe, so then there are certain guidelines, and those guidelines are that if it's a nota lomos, that it's a pain, and all those factors, then one would not be required to put one on.
How does the wish of the patient
factor? Yeah, that's a question in these things. Is the patient really the bialim to make these kinds of decisions? It's also not so posh. There are some times that the patient is permitted to say there's certain risks that Rabbi Shez will be able to talk about this in another week to come, about certain procedures that a person may be permitted to do, to risky procedures in order to potentially save the life for some more significant time. So Rabbi Shez writes that sometimes we say to the patient, listen, you're allowed to do this, but you're not mechuyev to do this. If you don't want to do it, you're not mechuyev to do it. So I don't know whether this would play such a role over here. I'm not sure. So what about other types of procedures? So here the poskim drew on this distinction. Rav Shlomo Zalman also has a similar idea as Rav Moshe. This idea, this notion of davativi versus non-davativi, the things which are very, very natural, simple types of quote-unquote life support, so one should keep on providing. So we assume it means that a little bit of oxygen, like Rav Moshe said, or perhaps an IV, that would also be required to be put in. We were being done recently on a child that came up in terms of feeding tubes, whether feeding tubes falls exactly under the category of Ramesh was talking about. Ramesh wasn't really addressing feeding tubes. So apparently Shlomo Zalman held that a feeding tube may also be considered to be a davativi. It's basically food, just being provided in a little bit more complicated way. Maybe that also should be provided. Again, that also becomes a tricky question, because we have to always keep in mind that when we start to do certain procedures, that the procedure itself may be risky, so then we may end up causing the person to die earlier. So it's always a shekel between those things that Ramesh alluded to in the tshuva, that even though we may be mechuyev to do certain things, but if that goof is going to cause the person to die, so then we would also apply the rule of Shevel Tasa Odeh. So again, these shadows, you can already begin to sense, become very, very delicate, but at least the basic mahalach that we're trying to develop is following Ramesh's guidelines, which Rosh Hashanah pretty much has similar guidelines also, that the Ramah does apply in certain circumstances. Rav Moshe plays up the issue of pain significantly more than some other poskim do. And the idea of davativi is something to take into consideration. The poskim say that if a person needs some very complicated kind of a treatment that we wouldn't do, if Rav Moshe speaks about it in another tshuva, if a person, let's say a very common person develops pneumonia, so Rav Moshe says, give me antibiotics. Rav Moshe says, antibiotics is davativi. Everybody takes antibiotics. My kids are on the third round of antibiotics in the last 2 weeks. Everyone takes antibiotics. So Rav Moshe says, that's also considered to be, it's also called like a davativi. Once you get into the realm of other things, of respirators and other more invasive kinds of procedures, so those are not dvarim tiviim necessarily, and therefore pain and the other issues are going to play out. I'll be definitely more than happy to have any of the doctors have anything to add to this discussion. Is that okay? Am I really okay? Okay, again, these are very, very difficult shalas. The nefashas in general are very, the most chomedic shalas. We try, the post comes to try the best to try to come up with the top of God. The next Wednesday won't be any shir.